around them, finally, there was a hand that came and began to write on the wall, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin, it wrote, which means you've been weighed in the balance and found wanting. That very night, Cyrus, the enemy, comes in, and Belshazzar, his blood flowed from the slit in his throat, and he was killed. It was wasted on the floor. And we say, oh, Belshazzar, oh, Belshazzar, how foolish you were. You should have known better than to profane the vessels of the house of God. But it wasn't all Belshazzar's fault. He wasn't the one who took the vessels out of the house of God and put them in a place where they could be dishonored. He was the one that followed his dad. And in later years, his dad repented, but it was too late to do anything for his boy, Belshazzar. His journey and his destiny had already been established by his dad. We read scriptures in the Bible about Salome, a lovely Jewish maiden. What a precious girl she could have been. God made her lovely. God made her to worship him. God made her to visit the temple and offer sacrifice and weep. God made her to be the satisfying of the desires of her husband, to bring a beautiful child into the world that would carry her into the future. Yet we find, not in a glorious situation, but dancing before a king, and those were who were in his court, and in his drunkenness and desire for this beautiful maid said, anything you want, I'll give it to you. Anything you desire, up to half of the kingdom. That little girl, she goes out, and when she comes back, it's one of the most bloodthirsty requests that could have ever been made. She says, sir, I believe I'll do without the throne or the gold or the finery of life. I just asked for the head of John the Baptist presented to me on a charger. We think, what a foolish girl. What a repulsive deed. What a horrible act. Anything that would happen to her would be too good. Yet we fail to look at her mother, to whom she looked for example, who had moved out of her husband's home to live unmarried in the home of her husband's brother. It caused that lovely young girl to see all that was going on in the palace. It wasn't entirely Salome's fault. It was the fault of her mother and the generations that chose the road she would one day take. We read of Hophni and Phinehas, how they committed acts of sin in the door in the house of God. What a terrible thing to do. But we better not be too hard on them until we realize that Eli, their father, didn't care enough to discipline them when they got started in the wrong direction. We read of Lot's daughters, their deeds in a cave, the night after Sodom and Gomorrah. We wonder how they could stoop to give birth to two nations that would always be a problem to the people of God right after the judgment of Sodom. But we better remember, they didn't choose Sodom. They didn't choose Gomorrah. They only learned as a result of the decisions that were made by mom and dad. Where dad led, they were sure to follow. And what he was, they one day became. I believe if Adam would have taken time to look down the road and to see all the sorrow that was going to come by his willingness to submit to his desire for satisfaction and pleasure for the now moment, he would have never taken of that forbidden fruit. But he was only seeing today and what he wanted. He couldn't look way down and see the effect it was going to have on every succeeding generation of mankind. I don't believe Achan would have submitted to the robe, the wedge of gold, or the shekels of silver. He thought he deserved them. It made sense. I fought. I've been a good man. He worked for 40 years. He'd been faithful. And now for the first time to get a little bit of the loot. It was all supposed to go to the house of God, but he took it. I deserve this robe. I deserve this gold. I deserve this silver. But if he would have had the long look and realized that the act was just a selfish act that would inflict pain upon his destiny, but not only upon his destiny, but the following and the future of his children, his entire family. If he would have seen the stones that was going to be thrown by the mob, everybody had to throw a stone. Everybody had to hurl a stone. Everything he had living was killed. They stoned him. If he had just looked at what he was doing, Saul, if he would have realized what he was doing, he would have never made the mistakes that led to Gilboa. But in the chapter I read to you, we find him there with three precious boys. They're all sweating. Their muscles are bulging. They're fighting. They're doing everything in their power. But they're fighting a lost cause. But it's my daddy's throne. He's the king. I'm here with my dad. They swung their swords, trying to protect their dad. Saul watched Melchizedek fighting for a throne he'd never have, for it had already been given away. And yet he's there, and Saul sees him smitten down, and he falls among the enemy. Then he watches Abinadab, who is also brave and courageous. He's fighting like four men. Saul is proud that he falls among the enemy. Jonathan is still fighting, and he too is smitten down. Saul lost his three sons because the father didn't receive his responsibility and live for God. I didn't learn the things of importance that I value for my life in church. Forgive me for saying it. I didn't get most of my teaching in church. I found faith in church. I found a loving God in church. I love to get together with the children of God. I found the Word of God in church. But when I look at the way I live as a man, as a husband, as a friend, I find that most all of my lessons I learned from my mom and my dad in our home. I could go on, but if our children see excitement in you concerning the coming of the Lord, they're going to be excited about the coming the Lord. If they see you coming to church every time it's open, they're going to do the same. If they see you loving holiness in the things of God, if they see you as someone who is at church and enjoys it, they're going to follow along with the same kind of heart. But if they detect an attitude of grumbling, always against the pastor and the direction he's trying to lead the church, they're never going to forget those attitudes. Exactly what you are, Daddy. Exactly how you live, Mama. Saint of God. So goes the church of many tomorrows. I really believe that the most important thing that I can preach about is the family. Our nation is falling apart. Churches are full of inner conflict. I'm so happy that I'm part of a church that we're in unity. We get along. We love each other. Not every church is like that. We are honored. We are privileged. I hear from pastors everywhere that tell me they've never had so many strange things come through the door that they're having to deal with. People they're having to counsel. Situations. Let me tell you, the devil's after your family. He's trying to split up the home. He's trying to destroy you and your tomorrow. If we're not careful, we won't even realize what's going on until it's too late. We've got to protect the home. Whether you have children in your home or not, you've got to protect the home. One day in the life of an American child or American children, 2,300 are missing a day in America. 4 children die from child abuse. 7 children die from guns. 865 babies are born with low birth rate. 847 teenagers have babies. That's babies having babies. 2,857 teenagers drop out of school each day. 2,723 babies are born into poverty. 4,408 babies are born to unmarried women. 4,028 children are arrested for all offenses. Over 5,700 teenagers are victims of violent crimes every day in America. Not week, not month, not year. Every day in America. 1,837 children are reported abused or neglected. Over 100,000 children are homeless. 1/3 of all American children go to bed hungry every night in America. I'm here to tell somebody, it's time we take back our homes. It's time we take back our communities. Yes, things might be going great for you and I, but there are people around us who are hurting, and what they see you do and how they see you act and your attitude towards the things of God and the Word of God matters. It matters. Plant seeds of hope and joy and life and truth everywhere you go, but start in the home. The greatest gift you can give the children around you, yours or others, is a love for God. The greatest gift you can leave them with is an example of a Christian. What would you do, Dad, if this next month you knew you only had 1 month to live? What kind of home would you try to put together, Mama, if you know you only had 4 more Sundays? What would you do in the evening, the morning? I want to hear the Lord say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." As they come this morning and as you stand this morning, Brother Charlie, if you could go get our children, I'd appreciate it. We're going to have a baptism. all of us want to hear the Lord say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." All of us. Who wants to make it to heaven? All of us. We want to hear that. But I not only want to hear "well done" for me, I want to hear "well done" for my wife, my family, the children that God's put in my life to affect. I want to hear "well done," Mike, Mark, Felicia, "well done." Terry, "well done." Brother George, "well done." "Well done, Brother Russ." I want to hear "well done" for all of us. I want to make it. It starts in your home. It starts with getting in a right relationship with God. And then everything around you will get in right relationship. I want to hear at the end of my life a compliment of God saying, "You are a good husband. You are a good friend. You are a good pastor. You are a good youth worker. You are a good worshiper. Welcome. Welcome." The Bible says, "Weep for your children." I was privileged to take these children to camp. It's been 2 weeks ago now, the 3 that are getting baptized. On the way up, it was quiet. They didn't know what to expect. after camp on the way back, I didn't know what to expect. They were wound up. God is working on their hearts. God's working on your heart. You're not too old. You're still a child of God. You're not too old. You don't have it all figured out yet. None of us do. But we serve a God of glory. If you'll give your heart to Him, He'll make changes in you that you didn't even believe possible. I wonder if you'd join the hand of your neighbor and step out in the aisle and make your way to the front. And by doing so, you're saying, God, I want to make a commitment to You like I haven't done before. God, I love You like never before. I want to make a vow to You today. I'm not just going to weep for my children and pray for my children. But I'm going to live right so my children see the example that I am. Thank You for coming. Thank You for coming. Perfect example of what I'm talking about. If they see You come, they'll come. If they see You walk out, they'll walk out. If they see You passionate about God and the things of God and the Word of God, this life, this truth, they'll become sensitive and passionate about the Word of God. Right where you are, let's just pray together, Lord. We're asking for Your mercy on our homes. We're asking for Your wisdom and guidance, oh God, on our families. God, You see every child of God, from the youngest to the oldest, that's here this morning. I pray that the anointing of the Holy Ghost would touch their homes and their lives. I pray, God, that they would hide Your word in their heart. I pray, God, that we would become sensitive to Your spirit. Oh God, show us Your ways. Forgive us, oh God, of anything that's holding us back, any sin. Wash us in Your blood this morning, oh God. God, that people around us would not just see a nice man or a nice woman, but they would see a Christian anointed by the Holy Ghost living for God. Nothing matters. Nothing else matters. Nothing will do, God, but You. Lord, we weep for our children this morning, for our country, for our community, God, that we would make You the center of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray this morning. I wonder if you'd just lift your hands to heaven right now, right where you are. Just begin to praise Him. Lord, we praise You. Lord, be the center of our life. God, we give You the glory. God, we give You all honor. Thank You, Lord, for Your word. Thank You, Jesus, for Your presence. Jesus. Sing it with them this morning. Nothing else matters. Nothing will do but Jesus. Nothing else truly matters but Jesus. Oh God.
Jesus, You're the same.
revolves around you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 I wonder if right where you are this morning, if you would just make a commitment to God. You're not just going to be a better person. You're going to be a better Christian. You're not going to wear your Christianity on your sleeve or just when you're in front of people. You're going to live it when nobody else is looking, watching, or listening. That's called character. We will see growth and more harmony than we've ever had before if we can get in that right relationship with God. And if we can begin to rebuild the walls of our home like never before in our homes. Have prayer. Have Bible study. Have God in your home. It starts with somebody taking an action. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Will you make that commitment this morning? Let me see your hands. Will you make that commitment? I'm going to live for God like never before. I'm going to believe and do the things of God like never before. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. We're getting ready for a baptismal right now. Hallelujah. These young people are wonderful young people. Thank you, Jesus.